We have been particularly lucky up here where I am in the Northwest. There really hasn't been any spraying. Yeah, I'd say for maybe almost 2 weeks. And I get up in the morning, I don't see any to the east, so I'm not sure if they've just moved out of the area here or if they're doing other things with perhaps invisible technologies that are making what they have put up there do things that aren't particularly good for us. We don't know. There's all manner of possibilities. Dane Wigington is one of the people who is really doing a massive public service in trying to catalog and present the truth about geoengineering. His website is geoengineeringwatch.org, and I hope you'll visit that. Click on his name. And if you have people that you know who doubt this, and look up and see chemtrails X-ing and crossing and spreading all over the sky and think that's normal, don't call for the men in the white coats. Just send them to geoengineeringwatch.org or send them a really good and short, remember attention spans, YouTube video to look at on the subject, and they might wake up. We'll see. Hello, Dane. Welcome back.
Hello, Jeff. Good to be back. Thanks for all your service to the common good. I'm here as well, trying to sound the alarm.
We're doing our best.
A lot of alarms need sounding these days, yes?
Yeah, we're going to run out of alarms pretty soon. There's too many.
I agree.
It's crazy.
You know, this particular issue, as you stated, I mean, I've focused on this one because as I've said many times, I believe if we don't deal with this one, the rest won't matter. So that's why I've focused all on this issue for so many years, not to drive down the importance of other issues. So there's a lot of important issues right now. Just the climate engineering is literally sinking the whole ship.
It's killing the planet. It's killing the planet. Imagine if the planet breathed, okay? Its lungs would be not visible, but the actual mechanism of breathing to keep the planet healthy would be what we call our atmosphere. And we are killing the lungs of the planet. No question.
The interconnectedness of the biosphere is still so misunderstood and not understood. A study out just yesterday indicates that current calculations show that just aquatic life in the form of fish in the ocean can and probably do compensate for as much as 222 billion in carbon emissions every year. If you could put a value on that, that's how much they're responsible for absorbing. So that's just one tiny aspect. And we talk about plankton and that being the largest source of oxygen on the planet. We know the climate engineering is decimating the plankton for a number of reasons, the increased UV being a primary one. You mentioned that you haven't seen the visible trails in your skies. A lot of people have reported this from California and Oregon. What they're doing right now, Jeff, they're definitely still spraying, no question. The skies are very silvery white. It's a shorter, bright trail. Definitely not a condensation trail. The skies are extremely silvery white. Anybody who is looking for the long horizon trails and not seeing them, a lot of people are thinking this spring has gone down. Take something and block the sun out so you can see just how much sheen there is around the sun. The skies
I can see it right now.
Yeah. This is a different disbursement, and we think this is something that creates a lens effect that adds to the high pressure strength when they're building high pressure over the west. They've done again. Mm-hmm. And we were expected to get lower temperatures going back a couple weeks. This window right now was expected to be some, at least normal. I shouldn't say lower, you know, not quite as high. Mm-hmm. But we got bad news out of the Arctic. And for about the 2 or 3 dozenth time on this, whenever that happens, even if we are forecast to be allowed a little bit of cooler weather, whenever there's really bad news out of the Arctic, the high pressure is immediately built over us. They go on this certain conveyor with the jet stream that appears to be connected to what they're trying to do in the Arctic to slow down some of the ice implosion. And, you know, they're making the whole thing worse overall, but the correlation is inarguable. So now we're stuck with these massive temperatures. In Redding, Jeff, today we were pushing 110.
In June?
Yes.
In the beginning of June?
Yeah, the nighttime lows, a couple nights ago after dark, it was 95 here in Redding.
That's like Las Vegas. That's crazy.
It is. Or worse, Las Vegas in August. So it appears, again, that this certain application of spraying, and we know they're spraying. I mean, I have some footage even in recent days of certain tankers that go over, and whether they're flying the same ones, or I can't say, but there are certain tankers that have clearly misaligned nozzles. So unless the jet engine is mounted crooked, we're not looking at condensation. They're very low, too. The tankers that fly over us are very low. And there's certain ones that have certain sides of the aircraft where the nozzles are misaligned, and you can clearly see it from the ground, leaving a huge, long, stringy trail behind them. It's a very different trail than a lot of the aircraft, but clearly way too hot for any type of condensation. And silvery white skies prove it. When you wake up in the morning, you'll see the sky is incredibly white. If you look toward the eastern horizon, same at night, it's the amount of haze and particulates in the air is horrific. It's just a different application. It appears to create a lens effect, like even more UV we get. When these spraying conditions occur, the UV is even higher than a clear day, and it appears they're actually trying to build the heat, trying to build the high pressure.
Oh, wonderful. This must be something that I can't imagine it being much smaller in particulate size, because we know it's pretty small already, but the dispersion must occur at a rate that is phenomenal for some reason. Maybe they are smaller pieces and they're just blowing around even more quickly. I don't know.
Certainly a lot we can't know, but the fact that this is still spray is beyond question. We have imagery of these shorter trails being turned on and off as well. We have, again, the misaligned nozzles, and we have the sky that's absolutely full of particulates. When you look to the eastern or western horizon where there might be some cumulus clouds over a mountain range here or there, you can barely make them out because the sky in the backdrop is so silvery white. You can barely see the silhouettes of these natural clouds.
Huh.
You know, and so the skies are, if you're in a good spot to see to the horizon, it's very evident just how much material is floating in the air. And again, we see the UV go up on this type of spray day, not down. And it correlates directly with the building up of the high pressure. So again, a lot we can't know, but there's a lot we do know from years of observation, and the UV, we're metering it, so we know that too.
They certainly could be doing this as a lensing kind of an operation to intensify.
Hard to know, but the UV definitely is going up on these days. So, something's up, and you know, if the light scattering was done in a particular manner, that could potentially have that effect, and it seems to have. So
UV A, B, C, all of them, UV, or just B?
We assume the whole spectrum is going up. But we look at UVB in particular, and we see that going up as measured in milliwatts per centimeter squared. So, and you know, a lot of things going on right now, again, on the Arctic ice extent and the mass just hit record lows again. It's right at record low right now, and people will soon see again the amount of spin on the headlines that have happened recent, you know, last fall that gave a lot of people very confused ideas of what's going on, but the oceans are warming rapidly. Jeff, I know you've seen all the fish die-offs, yes?
Oh, yeah.
Another one today on the East Coast. And interestingly enough, in New Jersey, the New Jersey Department of Health representative said, whatever killed the fish, we're sure it has nothing to do with environmental factors. Well, why would the shore be covered with fish?
I mean, that's what a statement.
So,
black is white, up is down.
There you go. Why else would the fish belly up? And the same thing in Southern Cal, where the fish bellied up, and they claim not to have any idea why this is going on, but the subsea surface is gassing, no question.
Well, they won't. One thing we can count on them, they will not say the R word. They won't say radiation or radioactivity. And they certainly are not going to say UVB, which is another massive killer. So we're in grievous trouble.
Yeah, a massive spectrum killer. That's a good term, all across the full range of life forms. So so there's certain things that are a given. We know the UV is through the roof, not just UVB, but we assume the full spectrum is up, UVA. We know UVC is reaching the ground now. We know the fish are radioactive. They certainly are all, everything tested is contaminated. But that is not going to kill that many fish that fast in those regions. So there has to be another element here, and that element...
We don't know.
It's gassing. It's CH4, and hydrogen sulfide is gassing from the subsea surface. We know that. We have enough instances of that that are recorded, are admitted to. So as this gassing occurs from the seafloor, it deoxygenates the water. And this is happening all over the globe because the temperatures are warming radically. There are some places in the Pacific right now that are 6 and 7 degrees C, which is... 12, 14 degrees above normal. And this is far more than enough to cause methane deposits and hydrogen sulfide to release from the seafloor, creates hypoxic zones, low oxygen, and or anoxic zones, no oxygen, And that's the only thing that can really belly these fish up at that speed. And the oceans, because they're warmer, are carrying less oxygen anyway. Warm water carries much less oxygen. So it's a bad combination all the way around. And these anoxic zones are surfacing all over the globe. There's 400-plus dead zones right now. It's increasing by the day. This should be a huge alarm factor for people, but unfortunately, many of them are still watching football games at American Idol.
Oh, and they'll watch them until the end, unfortunately.
Very unfortunately. This is where it comes down to, Jeff, that right now we can only hope that the American public wakes up soon, because if they don't, there's a very bleak future ahead. At best, we have a pretty dark one, but if the American population doesn't wake up, I don't see we have any chance to counter
the
insanity.
They might as well snap the leg irons on, at the very least. And they're just not going to. Hold on. Back in a minute with Dane Wigington as we continue. Okay, back with Dane Wigington. Looking ahead in the month of June for the Northwest, where I am, no rain. 2 days where it's as cloudy or mostly cloudy, and that's about it.
Looking
at temperatures in the 80s, high 80s, and low 90s. It's too hot. Too hot.
Way too hot. There's no rain scheduled for us.
It means more trees dying, among other things. UVB, no moisture, they're defenseless.
Exactly. They're dying everywhere. And when I use the term scheduled weather, that's a literal term, because that's what it is. And it won't rain unless or until they allow it to rain.
And unless or until they make it rain.
At this point, on the West Coast here, if they weren't blocking it, it would rain here. And it's not a matter of them needing to make anything happen. They're specifically blocking it. Satellite images from today, complete grid patterns. The entire eastern Pacific off the U.S. West Coast had grid patterns spraying out several thousand miles, was visible on the radar. I mean, there was nothing but grid patterns spraying. And again, the silvery white skies above us correlates with strong high pressure. So not only are we having this massive heat, we have 30-mile-an-hour winds, almost no humidity. These particulates in the air.
That's desiccating everything, that wind.
What it does.
Sucks the moisture out of everything.
It does.
We have a two-week period coming up here where I'm looking now. The temperatures are projected to be, on average, 15 degrees higher than normal. The whole graph is higher, but that's 15 degrees higher.
Exactly. And even then, we see the official readings under reported, so it's even hotter than that. And on the wind, the desiccant effect, and you add the particulates also the desiccant. So it's a horrible combination for the trees, and our trees all throughout the North State here have half their normal foliage, dead branches everywhere. They're burning up. The leaves are already curling up. Some are even dropping.
Deciduous trees?
Yes. It's an absolute cataclysm unfolding right now. You can see through the whole forest. The canopy is no longer covered anywhere because there's so much foliage that's been dropped. Same on the coast. Mm-hmm. My dad was an arborist, and I have a pretty significant knowledge of trees.
Is he still here?
No.
Okay.
But I was around him since I was a kid. And I went to the coast. The redwoods are all dropping foliage. The forest floor below the redwoods covered. So we have other things, again, around the globe. The climate's spinning out of control. Australia just capped off its second, it's had the hottest two-year period by far in recorded history. We have riots in India right now. Temperatures pushing 120 degrees where it should be monsoon and rain. The power grids are out all over India because the grids just can't take the heat. There's not much water. Hydro plants aren't functioning. Hail, Jeff, have you seen the massive hail that's falling
in
so many places? Now, this is something people need to understand, because this hail is damaging. So,
it go right through car windshields, bash the roof in, they kill you.
How do we have such a low count on the tornadoes and such a significantly higher count on the large damaging hailstones?
Because go ahead.
They're ice nucleating everything. We can see it on the radar. Wherever there's significant moisture, they're nucleating the cloud. So what happens is you have this canopy of aerosols above the convective storms, and that mm-hmm. limits their convection. So they have a ceiling on them, if you will. But yet they're trying to cool this moisture down, to cool the air mass down below, to cool the temperatures down. And in doing so, they're artificially nucleating ice within these storms. So the storms don't need to convect so high to have massive hailstones. So the ice is starting sooner at temperatures far above freezing, just like we've seen with the 50-degree snowstorms. And they suck up into these convective storms. And even though the storms aren't going as high, and even though the tornadoes aren't forming, we're getting massive hailstones. In fact, in the last 2 days, in Paris, massive hailstones. In France, Belgium, soccer games canceled, massive hailstones.
Oh, it's over there. I haven't seen that.
Hailstones the size of baseballs?
Yeah, well, that can kill you.
So. In France, though? Think about that.
No,
in
it doesn't
France.
Make sense. No, none. And they had an earthquake. They had a, not an earthquake, they had a tornado in Great Britain. Great Britain's been pounded with weird weather for the last couple, 3 years.
And it's going to continue. And it looks like what we're heading into for the fall here, Jeff, is they're going to, because the El Nino is so extraordinarily powerful, it looks like it's coming. They've kept this moisture, or this temperatures and heat, thermal energy, packed into the ocean for a number of years. Because of the high pressure over us, it's altered mm-hmm. over the west. It's altered the trade winds. It tend to push a lot of that heat into the western Pacific. Now it's coming our way. You can only keep a lid on a boiling kettle so long. Now if the El Nino really explodes, I hope it does, it looks like they're going to let the moisture feed in off the west coast, let the west coast be the
swamp.
But
it'll come up. It'll come up from the subtropics.
Yes, but you can bet they'll aerosolize.
And that's one of the reasons they're going to let it happen, or it's going to happen, and that's for the better, because if it came from the North Pacific, it will carry radioactivity with it. That was my theory as to why we had no rain last winter. They were getting up to 3 years to the point where the storms were carrying such radioaltivity when they came down out of the Aleutians and from the Kamchatka Peninsula area, which many of them are formed, of course, so they moved offshore and to the east. They would have had a big problem. There are too many people with Geiger counters who can go out and measure the downspout outflow on their lawns, and they'll see things.
I would like to think that there is any sort of, I wish I could think, I should say, that there's any sort of benevolence in these programs. And what you're saying,
it wasn't benevolence at all. It was very self-serving. They just didn't want
to keep
the lid on it.
Yeah. So, in addition to that, and if there is any validity to that, and certainly in theory, it could be, Jeff. But in the case of California, when we see monsoonal moisture that feeds into us in recent years also get aerosolized, intentionally depriving us of any rain, even
uh-huh.
from the opposite direction.
Uh-huh.
At that point, we can only conclude California is not just a climate sacrifice zone, but an actual target. And they won't let anything fall here. Even some of the more southerly flows of moisture that have come across the state
uh-huh.
this last winter, they aerosolized 75% of it away every single time. And now what we're seeing, and I just spoke to one of the head people with Cal Fire in Northern California, that their biologists are seeing something they've never seen before. The fuel moisture in the trees, even when the rain came and it went up, and for all the reasons you and I discussed at the beginning of the show,
it's already gone.
It's gone.
They're going to have explosions of fires, unfortunately. All it'll take with one arsonist, and as we all know, some of these arsonists are, unfortunately, hired agents. So
yeah,
it's not good.
Yeah, that which we are up against is...
When do you think the El Nino moisture theoretically will hit then? September, October?
It doesn't look like, even if some migrates this direction before then, according to the NOAA maps, it does not look as if they will allow anything to fall to them, because everywhere there's convective moisture, even these big storms that cause some flooding back east, they're aerosolizing it. They're making the biggest artificial cloud they can. Everywhere there's moisture, looks like they're going to continue doing that all summer.
Wow. It's really ugly. I don't have words for it. This is not a good situation.
Circus of insanity, yes.
Yeah. Back in a minute with Dane Wigington. Please do visit the website. Avail yourself of information that you'll find nowhere else. It is the only place to go. Right? Geoengineeringwatch.org. And it's there for you 24/7. We'll be right back. Thank you. Okay, back with Dane, and we're talking about the air around you, above you, in you, and all over the planet, and it is being destroyed. I'm sure over time the planet could heal itself, but it would have to be done without the intervention of the so-called sentience that we are. We aren't. We are not a good caretaker species. In fact, we are so negligent and so destructive, we really ought to be kicked off the planet, feet first or otherwise. It's not something that we deserve as a group. Now, individually, of course, you're all basically as outraged as I am about this, but the sad thing is we really are seeing nothing by way of any international corporation, any multinational, to reverse the massive, ruthless, endless 24/7 destruction of the environment and the biosphere. It's just not happening. Now, Michael, go ahead.
Jeff, you finish your thought.
Well, my question is, are these people going to kill the goose that laid their golden egg? What's driving them? What is really pushing them to destroy the planet? Because that's what they're doing. And I can't figure that out for the life of me. It makes no sense. A successful parasite doesn't kill its host.
Well, I don't know that we would call the collective insanity that clearly runs the planet, small group at the top that is pulling all the strings, a successful parasite, and clearly they are killing the host, period. Now, your earlier statement that we don't deserve the planet, I know a lot of people would disagree with that. I agree with you. I fully agree with you. If you take the human race as a collective, there's no arguing that. We have decimated the planet. And on that note, that I know I've heard from a lot of people who feel that none of the population should take any blame for what's happened to the planet. That it's
oh,
all
really?
Exactly. And I don't agree with that, of course, and you don't agree with it either. That it all lies on the corporations. But I would counter with this. I know too many people to even begin to count in my world who have done nothing to rise to the common good, who want to drive their Winnebagos from now until forever, who don't want to do anything to curb the damage being done to the planet. They're happy as hell to party 24/7, using up as much resources as they can. So, yes, the corporations are evil. There's no other word for it. Yes, they have no comprehension that they are sinking the entire ship. They don't seem to care. But also, yes, how can they get away with this? Because the population, so long as their own party is going on,
right,
have not cared today.
They're so selfish. People are just self-centered. Now, I'm not saying they haven't been conditioned to be self-centered.
It doesn't
excuse them. Ultimately, we know one-on-one. If you sat somebody down, some random individual, 100 random individuals, and ask them about the planet and what's being done to it, if it was right or wrong and what should be done, probably most of them would say these corporations need to be stopped. Whatever it takes, we can't destroy the planet. But when you put them in the collective, as you use the word properly, of the herd, the hive, they no longer speak out as individuals. They're not proactive anymore. They're just reactive zombies. They just go along to get along, and they titillate themselves with their TV and their processed foods and their fast foods and their pharmaceutical medications, which keep them happy and subdued, and their fluoridated water. And they're breathing all this crap. And where is somebody, honestly? Now, I really think I would be doing a disservice to my listeners. I think you would agree with me if I were to tell my listeners, oh, there's hope. Don't worry. There's hope. People are going to wake up and take it back. No, they're not. I'm really sorry to say that. They're not. The control being exercised upon the masses is so complete now. It's hard science. It is ruthless. It is merciless. It's too late. We've lost it. What's going to happen?
It's too late for the planet. We've known. It's definitely, Jeff. I'm in full agreement with you. A lot of people want to think if they're told just to do A, B, and C, everything will work out. It'll all go back to normal. Not going to happen. We're past the point of no return to the planet we've known, period. The science is completely...
That was in the mid-80s in my book, but yeah.
Yeah, it was. It really was back that far. The climate engineering course is making an already bad situation exponentially worse. Now, what I would add to the equation is that we have a situation now that will force those who have been complacent, that have felt that they didn't have any sense of responsibility toward the whole here, they will be forced to pull their head from the sand, forced to actually fight for their lives, their next bite of food soon. So if you look back at the countries that have been droughted out for decades as part of these global weather modification programs that are weather warfare, the African countries, decades, they've been droughted out, brought to their knees, U.S. occupation ensued.
Sure.
More recently, we have Afghanistan, droughted out before that conflict was brought into play by the 9/11 false flag events. Iraq, also droughted out. This is not coincidence that all these countries that were invaded were droughted out before the period of time the invasion started, because that tends to make everything more volatile.
Interesting.
And it stresses the country, and it actually makes it much easier to manipulate, cause public unrest.
Climate,
so we have, here's the
as
list.
A weapon.
African countries, Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, Libya, Syria, look it up. All of them underwent record droughts prior to the times of invasion and disruption. It's not a coincidence. So now we take California. Is California the target now? It certainly appears to be. As people are starting to wake up to the crimes of the power structure, now the water situation is so intense that they can't think of anything else. They're caught in a paradigm where they're trying to figure out where the next drink is going to come from. And so is that connected to this previous chain? Perhaps. And on the responsibility list, let's take that further. Yes, the public has shown no responsibility, but what if we go to those people that are right now helping to hide the climate engineering? Meteorologists, a lot of disinformation coming out from meteorologists that are stating on the record this is all ridiculous, and they're really towing the line for the power structure. And shouldn't they be held accountable, Jeff? Shouldn't those meteorologists that are willfully lying to hide the climate engineering,
of course they are.
Shouldn't they be accomplices to the crime?
Of course they are. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Accessories before and after the fact. And they should be, but they won't be, because their egos have gotten them somehow through luck, or if you're a blonde, on TV, and a big, what's the big cash in to be a celeb? You got to be a celeb. And that's
going to be short-lived.
They'll do anything for that.
The reckoning's coming.
It is? Oh, yeah, and it's not going to be pretty. Hold on. Back in a minute with Dane. Sorry the news isn't better, folks, but we don't lie to you here. You know that. And we're not going to start. The truth is, you better prepare to take care of yourselves. There will be survivors, but it's going to be real ugly. And the war is not just on California for its water. It's a war essentially against food. California is the breadbasket of much of the country.
Correct.
It's a food war. So it's food fascism. Hang on. It's going to get worse. Back in a minute. Okay, back with Dane. Geoengineeringwatch.org, geoengineeringwatch.org. Take a look, and you will learn a lot. You have people all over the world, reporting into you. What countries have opted out? I get this question a lot, of the chemtrail program, who forbid it, who won't allow it.
It appears we've seen some examples of that in the past. Back prior to the swine flu outbreak in Mexico, we had data that indicated Mexico was pushing back against these programs, and even some indication that there was a slight cessation of the spraying. But then the swine flu outbreak happened, and amazingly, the spraying ensued after that. Was that a shot across their bow?
Yeah.
We don't know. Same in Ireland. There was reports that there was pushback against the programs there. Then Ireland was financially collapsed. There were South American countries that we know are in opposition to the U.S. in many ways, but I've been in contact with Rima Lebeau and General Bert Stubblebine, and they have been getting hammered down there much harder than they've ever seen it.
I know where they moved, too.
Right.
That's remarkable. Central America, now they're in South America, way down there. And
way down. So
unreal.
Now, so much so that Rima, who's a strong woman, was reporting that she really had some health issues from out of nowhere when this spraying ensued, and I'm hearing that from everybody from as far south as Tasmania, all over New Zealand, Southeast Asia, and a report from a biologist in Southeast Asia says the ants have all died there, that the conditions are so harsh and the fallout so heavy. There's a lot of ants in Southeast Asia, so that's certainly saying a lot.
Very unusual. Yeah. Very unusual. Now, I had also thought about the bees up here and the bee die-off, and They're trying to blame pesticides, which probably play some role in it. They're blaming EMFs, which may also be a factor, but obviously this kind of contamination in the air can't help them.
I think your assessment is exactly on target. Yes, those factors are part of the equation, but obviously there's a much bigger overlying factor, as you just stated, because the bees are just as dead 1,000 miles into the wilderness.
Right.
So I've communicated with one of the head bee people in the country,
mm-hmm.
and you know, it's like so much of academia, Jeff. You can't add to a cup that's already full. They think they know it all. They don't want to hear it.
They won't talk.
Nope.
How
and
sad.
So far in the sand that, you know, you can't, there's nothing you can show them because they know it all, even though rationally their facts don't add up. But, you know, the sooner the American population joins this fight, we're painting a very dire picture because that's what we have. That's what the data indicates, and I respect you for being willing to address it as such. But the sooner the American population turns off the football games, stops with the cruises, and the week-long golf outings, the better chance we have. And I hope people really understand what I'm saying. The party is about over. Any day, the power structure, they become more dangerous if certain things are impossible to hide. For example, if we have an ice-free Arctic this year or next, and if people are astounded at me saying that, look it up. Look at the data. We're heading that direction now. There's a number of events that they probably can't hide much longer. And at the moment that happens, we see how blatant they can become. Look at Ukraine. I mean, the U.S. is basically trying to fuel the start of World War III in Ukraine. That's our country pushing that envelope. So the sooner we wake up to this, the sooner people join the fight, the sooner they arm themselves with credible data. We all need to be leaders. I hear from so many people that don't want to do anything unless they have specific instructions. We can't operate that way. Everybody needs to learn to shoot from behind rocks and trees like the colonists did. We all need to learn how to move the ball forward, start spot fires of awareness. SkyderAlert.com, Jeff, you know what SkyderAlert is, yes?
Mm-hmm.
So George Barnes has updated those apps. They're much better than they've ever been. Put a lot of money and effort into it.
Good for him.
Yep, he's helping the cause.
Give the website. We had him on the program.
Yes, you did.
What's the website?
SkyderAlert, S-K-Y-D-E-R, alert.com. And there's a film on there, Look Up. People can see, if they download the app, they can watch the whole version of the film, Look Up. It's won about 12 awards now. It's a great intro tool. Also, the power structure's fighting back, Jeff. In fact, 2 days ago, my recent PowerPoint presentation that's on a lot of sites, but the one that had the most views was just nearing 500,000 views in the last 3 months. Google took it off.
And kicked
gone.
It.
And the same day Google took it off, we see the biggest disinformation site out there, which I'm not going to name because I don't want to give them any attention, but they showed up, the PowerPoint with 500,000 views was gone, and that's where Google's at. Google's towing the line for the power structure.
Google is God, folks. I'm telling you, and as every day comes and goes, the Internet becomes more powerful, more corrupt, more insidiously wicked at control, total control of your mind, how you think, not you, but us, you, the masses, all of you out there, whether you're listening or not. This is such a dominant medium, the Internet. You remember 25 years ago we used to talk about how people need to understand the impact of television and what it's done to the masses. The Internet is doing that, but I think on a factor of 10 or 20 more intensely. We've got people now who can't walk down the street, Dane, without lifting up their right or left hand and looking at their smartphones. They keep looking and looking and looking for a message. And it is so wicked, as I said. These people don't have a chance. They'll go to dinner. You've seen the pictures. Four people at dinner, all with their smartphones. They're texting. And sometimes they're texting each other at the same table.
This is insane.
I mean, this is complete insanity. You think you're going to break that addiction easily, folks? Ain't going to happen. These people cannot stop looking at that phone because every time they get a message, it's like reinforcement that they have worth. It's a psychological trick to make them feel like, I'm important. They don't think like this, but this is what their subconscious is saying.
It's because of that addiction that we can have a reality that we have right now where the UV is, based on our metering, 1,200% higher than we're being told. It feels intensely out to the skin, burning up trees, burning up foliage, crop harvest plummeting, skies that are horribly contaminated day in, day out. I mean, the house is literally burning to the ground, and we have people doing exactly what you just described. But I would argue that reality of these smartphones and so forth and that kind of distraction is about to come to a very abrupt end as our reality turns on its head. And I would argue that's based on all available data. I'm not looking at a crystal ball or making some sort of projections. I'm just looking at data and trajectories. Our current paradigm cannot last much longer. We have cars around the globe, for example, that are brand new cars that didn't sold and haven't sold on lots all over the globe, millions of them, in order for these manufacturers to keep manufacturing, to keep those wheels turning. It's a snake eating its own tail.
Yeah.
It cannot last. It will not last. We have fish floating up dead all over the planet. Again, harvest plummeting. We're months away from, I believe, things that will make it very difficult for the power structure to hide the totality of what we face. And that's when everything you just described will start to come to an abrupt end, when people are forced to face reality. But the sooner they face it, Jeff, the better chance we'll have. So I hope people decide to hop into the battle now, arm themselves with credible information, educate themselves, and start launching flaming arrows of awareness to those that are not yet awake. We need everybody in the fight.
The best thing in the age of the short attention span is to try to trick somebody who's a fence sitter. If they're on the other side, don't waste your time. Into looking at a YouTube video. And the way I've said this before, forgive me for repeating it, folks. Tell someone that you really care about and you want to bring along. Say, listen, I saw something I'm really confused by. Can you help me out and look at this video and tell me what you think what you think about it? Most people, when they're appealed to on that basis, their ego is stroked or they care, and they'll look at it. And at least you've exposed them to it. Even if they tell you, it's a bunch of crap. Say, well, what do you mean? Have them explain it. And then you can get into a conversation with them. But the attention span is so short. You look for a 4 to 6 minute YouTube video, or even a piece of a longer one. It doesn't matter. But ask, appeal to people. Say, hey, I can't figure this out. And you got to trick people into trying to get them to look at the information. You sit them down and try and tell them, they'll tune you out real quick. Bip, gone.
Certainly, you're accurate, Jeff. But there's no question about that. Given the immediacy of our situation, it's easy to want to ram the whole oak tree down their throat instead of plant the acorn. And I know I'm guilty of that as well. But your approach is correct. And we do have films out there that people can be invited to watch, comment on, and come to their own conclusions. And they will soon enough, as they start to see the verification of certain data that we have out there. They see that verification unfolding around them, and they will. There will be no hiding the severity of what we face for much longer. So that's a good approach you've outlined.
What happens next to California?
Next to in that
next. What's next?
Oh, next. To
it's
California.
Dying already. What are they going to do?
I think it's possible that, and again, I'm only speculating here, but as we've seen so many places around the globe get annihilated with massive flooding following protracted drought, California may be next, because clearly they are disrupting the population as part of the agenda. As we saw in Bosnia, China just lost 25,000 homes. Didn't see any reporting on that here. That's a lot of homes to lose. We're seeing record flooding all over. Pakistan just got hammered again.
Yeah.
So this fall, it's possible that California could get a serious flooding catastrophe, and we know that it's a disaster waiting to happen. The whole Sacramento area, so many areas below sea level, if there's a big flood, damage will be cataclysmic. And I think it's possible that that could be on the agenda for fall. We'll have to wait and see.
Interesting. All right, my friend, thank you for the hour. Thanks for the update. Thanks for the work. You live, eat, and breathe this, and literally. And keep it up. We've got such a thin line, and you're it in your field, and I don't know what we do without you. So take care of yourself.
I appreciate everything you've done, Jeff, and I hope many join our ranks as soon as possible. You have a great night. I appreciate everything you do.
Thanks, Dane. Okay. All right, Dane Wigington and geoengineeringwatch.org. We'll be right back with Yochi. Hopefully we'll have Yochi. He's in Thailand. We're going to try and dial him up and have our report, as we always do for you, Monday, third hour, on Fukushima. Back in a minute.